The Holy Gospel is from the St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "You have heard it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your coat, give your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go also the 2nd mile. Give to everyone who begs from you, and do not refuse anyone who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you going to do than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord. Love your enemies. I thanked Pastor Eric when I went to him and said, "Gee, thanks for the lessons you gave me." And he asked, "What are they?" And I said, "Love your enemies." And he just laughed. He laughs because he knows I've been struggling with that probably since Election Day, maybe even before. Okay, so I've got a confession to make. I am an internet troll. Some of you may know what that is, some of you may not. But throughout the campaigns and since Election Day, I specifically am what's called a persistent debate troll. That means I'm one of those who leave long arguments on Facebook with all the facts, trying to convince friends and friends of friends that I am right and they are wrong. And it's taken me months for me to finally realize what I was doing, especially after I actually unfriended a dear and longtime friend who was one of the crucial people in making me become a pastor. One day I was mid-rant with this epic takedown of somebody arguing with them who had basically ignored all of my reasoned arguments and facts that I was throwing out, when I suddenly stopped and I thought, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? So I erased everything that I wrote. I took my hands off the keyboard and just left Facebook and the internet for about 2 days. And I thought, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? I don't even know the guy I'm arguing with. And I started watching more carefully the TV news, and I noticed the protesters and the anti-protesters yelling and screaming and arguing with one another. Perhaps you've noticed this in your own lives, regardless of what side you're on, or in family members, or in friends or co-workers. Experts tell us now that we are a divided nation, a divided society right now, that hate groups and hate crimes are on the rise. Even pastors I've spoken to have talked about how their congregations are divided. Now, perhaps we've been dividing slowly over the decades, not noticing, not listening to one another, not listening to those whom we deem not relevant enough to listen to. Yes, we have enemies, those who have attacked us, those who have oppressed us, those who have caused us to fear for our safety. But also those we sit across from in the dinner table, or those we have coffee with, or those we tweet to or Facebook with, or those we work with, and on and on and on. I know it's true for me. Even though I may not want to admit it, I confess right now, it's a daily struggle. And in the midst of all of this division, we hear Jesus say, love your enemies. Let the arguing begin. Does Jesus really mean this? Doesn't all this talk about not retaliating and loving our enemy make us seem weak, like doormats? What about people who have been abused? Is this what Jesus really means to say to them? Surely this is just one more exaggeration in a string of exaggerations we've heard over these last two Sundays, where Jesus seems to just keep upping the ante until it's so impossible that nobody can keep it. But what if he does mean exactly this? Love your enemies. What would it look like? Could we do it? That's just a taste of some of the arguing and discussion that went around the table this past Wednesday at the pastor's text study. We all struggle with Jesus' words not to retaliate, not to pray for our abusers, to not stand our ground against the evildoer, to love our enemies. What would it look like? Could we do it? What came to me were images, glimpses from movies I've seen and documentaries. The first was Gandhi, the movie Gandhi. And it was a scene in South Africa where Gandhi led the Indians who lived there and were being discriminated against by apartheid to stand up to the police force. And there were row upon row of these Indian South Africans. And they would line up and without a word suddenly step forward. And they'd get hit over the head and knocked down and fall to the ground. And the next group, the next line, would stand up and take a step forward. They would get hit too, and they'd fall down. And it went on and on and on until it stopped. Not because the Indians stopped, but because the police, the South African police, were so abhorred with what they were doing themselves. They suddenly realized that they were hitting human beings, and they were doing this, and it was not going to stop unless they themselves stopped. The other image that I had was from a documentary, and I couldn't find it on the web, so I just remembered seeing it, from Nickel Mines, Pennsylvania. And it was a situation in which Charles Roberts went into a one-room schoolhouse in Nickel Mines, an Amish schoolhouse, and wound up shooting 10 Amish schoolgirls, killing 5 of them. What made it incredible, and some have called it miraculous, is that the Amish, even in the midst of their grief, went to his funeral and stood by his burial, embraced his family and forgave them and helped them. Even while they were grieving, even while they were burying their own dead, they forgave the shooter. And people said it was miraculous. The Amish said it was what Jesus told them to do. Love your enemies. What would that look like for us? Could we do it? I believe we can. It certainly would be very different and look very different here in this setting than it would be for the Amish or for those South Africans who were against each other. And we would certainly need to be in a community of supporting, encouraging, and challenging people, calling us to uphold what Jesus was asking us to do. That is what Gandhi had, and it's what the Amish had that made them able to do it. It is the very rare person, I think, who can love and pray and forgive an enemy in isolation. It does happen, but it's very rare. Perhaps that's why I needed to confess at the beginning my troll-like aspects to all of you. That is why I think Jesus adds after those words, so that you, plural, not singular, so that y'all may be children of your Father in heaven. Jesus then gives us a reason to try to do this difficult step together. Be perfect, therefore, as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus is not telling us that we must be perfect. And I think that's too often what we hear when we hear those words. He doesn't say it, but we think we must be perfect in order to be blah, blah, blah. The word here translated as perfect is teleos. It doesn't mean moral or even spiritual perfection. Rather, it means maturing, ripening, reaching the end part or goal to which you were being aimed. For example, an arrow's teleos is the target. A peach tree's teleos is a peach. Jesus is telling us that God created us, our teleos, to be human beings who are loving, forgiving, not holding grudges against anyone, even our enemies. To love God and love our neighbor. And who is our neighbor? Everyone. So here's the good news. Grow up. Keep maturing. You're on the way. You're not there yet. Help one another mature in following Christ's kingdom way. It won't be easy. In fact, it will be very difficult. So is everyone else, but it's going to be difficult, but because we are God's children, we continue to grow. But then, so is everyone else, God's children. Some of them just don't know it yet. Grow up and show them the way. I want to close with just a brief story from the Hasidic Rebbe Connect tradition. The Rebbe was asked one day by a student, how can one tell when a new day has begun? The Rebbe, as usual, reversed the question and asked his student, you tell me how you know. And the student kind of hemmed and hawed and finally guessed, is it when the rooster crows to signal a new dawn? No, said the Rebbe. Is it then perhaps when one can discern the silhouette of a tree against the sky? No, he said. And he tried on and on. Finally, the Rebbe gave in and he said, the surest way to know when the night is over and when a new day has come is when you can look into the face of a stranger, of an enemy, the one who is so different from you, and recognize him as your brother. See her as your sister. Until that day comes, it will always be night. May your new day come for us and for your whole creation, O light of the world. Amen.